Welcome to Reinventing Professionals, a podcast hosted by industry analyst Ari Kaplan, which shares ideas, guidance, and perspectives from market leaders shaping the next generation of legal and professional services.
This is Ari Kaplan, and I'm speaking today with Kevin O'Keefe, the legendary founder and CEO of LexBlog, Inc., a legal blog publishing platform used by lawyers worldwide. Kevin, it is a tremendous privilege for me to be chatting with you today. Welcome.
Likewise. I remember I probably had about two or three customers when I met you the first time. it's an honor to see what you're doing now.
I remember writing an article about legal blogging so many years ago, and you were such a great source for me, and you've been an inspiration to me personally and to our industry. Tell us about your background and the genesis of LexBlog.
I'm a lawyer by trade. I wanted to be a lawyer probably since I was probably 6 or 7 years old, maybe because my grandfather watched Perry Mason on TV. I'm not really sure what they did, but that's what I wanted to do. So I practiced law for 17 years as a trial lawyer and enjoyed it and never thought I would ever leave it and started my own firm, a really good group of people that I work with. But when you start your own firm, sometimes you need to figure out a way to replenish the stable of cases that you took with you when you left that firm. And I had no idea. And I stumbled into the internet via a person that I took with me that told me there's such a thing as a website. And I wanted to find out what it was. And you went to AOL to get on it. And when I went to AOL, I saw lots and lots of people that needed help in the areas that I knew something about. So I answered questions. And nothing was more rewarding than ever in the practice of law. And I realized that by getting a name, by doing so, I could grow my practice, which was starting to happen. But rather than do it myself, I could help more people by moving my family of seven to Seattle and starting a company. And that became the precursor to a lot of the content and the questions and answers on a site called lawyers.com that was purchased eventually by LexisNexis. And LexBlog, another thing, is just necessity. You have a family and you have to support the family, and you're in the garage trying to figure out what you're going to do for the better part of a year. And I stumble into a little tiny article that says there's going to be a company that has a blog, web-based platform. What is a blog? And swipe my credit card for $4.95 at night in the garage and realize that lawyers could write. We could share our insight and commentary on the things that we knew something about, that we were passionate about. People would see it and we would get work. So there was no way it wouldn't work. And so I decided that after a couple of people thought I was nuts, to start a company that would do blogs for a lawyer platform and provide lawyers what they would need to be professional and safe and secure. And that was it. Just seemed like a good idea. And as an entrepreneur, once you see a good idea, it's hard to see how it could fail.
Thinking of failure there, I just want to acknowledge that in the great serendipity of my career, my very first paid freelancing assignment was for your website all those years ago. And I still remain grateful. We did not know each other. It was an editor of yours that had selected my article. And I wonder, how have you seen all of this change? So since you founded LexBlog, how have you seen legal blogging change?
That's changed a lot. And what you're talking about is a previous company called Prairie Law. You know, and you would have been called upon by somebody that was doing the legal channel for ABC News that was being done out of Seattle that I then hired for the company called Prairie Law that was sold into lawyers.com. But no, it's changed for the better and it's changed for the worse. I'll tell you where it's changed for the worse. A blog is the real insight and commentary of a person, delivered in an authentic way because they care about people. And that's what lawyers are about. What happened with legal marketing is there's a lot of lawyers that don't want to write content, but they do want to look like they're authentic. So they pay somebody thousands and thousands of dollars to put up content in their name. And it's misleading and it's unethical because it's being used in advertising. Now, these are my opinions. Some bar associations agree with me. There's people in the American Bar Association that would say, oh, well, what's wrong with that? It's wrong. So today, if you were to ask a large room of lawyers, if I look out on 400 lawyers and I'd say, how many of you believe that your website comes with a blog and then that blog comes with content automatically put into it 2 or 3 times a month? they 80% raise their hand. And that's been a bad thing. That's, in my opinion, it's a lot of garbage. It's just being used to get traffic to come to my site, put up a billboard. On the other hand, the amount of content that has been produced by lawyers on blogs in real, authentic way from knowledgeable people, whether it's an elder law lawyer in the middle of Maine or some sophisticated IP issue, some niche, it's just gone through the roof. Probably in the time that we have talked, our network has probably had, let's say, 30 or 40 blog posts go through. That's a lot of content that's gone through. We have about 750,000 pieces of content from lawyers. That's staggering. We have one large company, VLAX, that uses our blog content as secondary law. We have another large company that gathers secondary law on a mammoth scale that wants to talk to us about doing the same thing. So look at what's happened since we first talked about Lexbook. It's become secondary law because it's producing more content on more subjects than was ever produced in law reviews or the law journals. That's a pretty positive thing that's going to go on, building that body of secondary law. And it's made that content accessible to the average person.
How has legal blogging impacted the profession overall?
I think it's changed it forever. It's allowed a person with a passion and an interest to go out and say, I can go out and create my practice and I don't have to worry about where the work is coming ever. If I decide that my passion is a particular interest because my grandparents owned a horse farm and I liked to go out there when I was a grandchild and I was doing corporate work in two large law firms that were run by men. And the men were basically, they weren't abusing me, but it was just an intolerable situation as a young lawyer being told to do the worst work. And if you landed good work, we'll take it away from you. I think I'll just go out and start a blog on equine law. And I'll be, and maybe in 9 months, I'll be speaking at the Kentucky Derby to the National Breeders Association. That's pretty amazing. How is that going to happen before you published the equine law vlog? And those stories, for me, when the person's sitting across the table from me and I ask them about the impact of the blog, are moving. They tear me up. In December, alert. Unsolicited, just said, Kevin, I just want you to know that we have three children in college right now all at once. And without the blog, I'm not sure we could have done it. Or to another lawyer that's telling me that my son is at Yale. And I said, how did you pay for that? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, did you just write a check for it? He goes, yes. And you feel pretty proud about what you guys did? Yes. And I said, could you have done that without the blog? No. So that's so cool what it can do for lawyers. It can allow them to do what they want to do for the people they want to serve. And whether it's in a large firm or a small firm, because Southwest Airlines doesn't call you up and say, can we come to your small law firm and visit you because we want to see if you would be willing to do work for us?
How has generative AI affected legal blogging?
It's hard to know. Everything has affected everything. There's no doubt that it's a great assistant right now. And I probably spent a lot of time on it because I was afraid it would wipe me out of business. It's like an assistant. If you were in the reference area of the library and you needed a little bit of help, and maybe you had an editor because you write, and now you have an editor that's sitting across the desk from you. So what do you think about this title? Oh, those are five interesting titles. I got part of that one. I think I'll use that. I cover the topics that I should have covered here. Are there any that you think I missed? I probably could have covered that one. Give me that one. I like to have this go over to LinkedIn, and it's a little bit of a hassle having to do a little summary on it. Could you give me a draft summary of what this would look like over at LinkedIn, my blog post? Oh, yeah, it would. How about you? Could you make this more understandable, what I wrote? Just give me some suggestions or more professional. I find those things fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. Can you take this article from the New York Times that I used to take a lot of time doing a summary of it so I could reference it and then write about? could you make it in bullets? Hey, that article from report from the Supreme Court by Justice Roberts, rather than just have it all prose, could you reduce that to the numbered points he made on AI and his impact? Because I want to use those numbered points in my blog. Now, did I plagiarize or go over here and write, ask AI to write things? No. Yeah, it's an editor for me, and that's powerful. Because what that can do is it can help more lawyers blog, and we might get more subjects covered. So,
with that in mind, where do you see blogging headed in a generative AI-centric future?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways it's going to happen. I think we're going to multiply by spades the amount of content that's being published by people, because they're going to have that editor that can help them, not just, I'm not talking about produce the content. So that's going to make for having way, way more secondary law on subjects that we never had before. So if I can empower you because you had this interest in doing IP on a particular type of electric device being used in this type of situation, you never would have wrote about that before. No way. Well, maybe you'll be able to now, because you'll be able to have access to more information to be able to get, you know, what you'd like to blog about. Maybe it'll be seen more than before. There's going to be a lot of different things that for lawyers, when we do search, it may not be like Google anymore. You just may get who's going to want to go through six things to see which website had the best information? Nobody. That'd be like saying, we're going to stop having mobile phones. It's just going to become part of life. In which case, those lawyers that write, the content's going to be right at the top, and then they're going to get their name in it. We're going to blend primary law with your writing. So when I go to publish, I'll have the primary law blended right in. So I might be writing about something, and it might say, do you want to cite this case? Do you want to cite this blog? That's going to be really cool. That's going to be really cool. My guess is at the end of the day, and the last thing I'll say, is that we're going to have more things come from practicing lawyers than we ever had. So we might supplant law reviews and law journals as to what is the most important insight and commentary for secondary law. We'll see it come from the lawyers that are practicing.
This is Ari Kaplan with the privilege of speaking today with Kevin O'Keefe, the founder and CEO of LexBlog Inc., a legal blog publishing platform used by lawyers worldwide. Kevin, it's been an honor. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Reinventing Professionals podcast. Visit reinventingprofessionals.com or arikaplanadvisors.com to learn more.